Good morning, Midland First. It is a gift to be with you this morning and for us to get to worship together. I am Pastor Bethany, and I serve as the associate pastor here at Midland First, and we are glad to worship together, whether you are here in the sanctuary or online with us this morning. This morning, we have a few announcements that we would like to share, and we will start by inviting our Bell Choir Director, Nathan, up to share a couple of announcements for us.
Good morning, church family. I actually have three announcements. I'll make them as brief as possible. The first is our intergenerational chime choir is continuing its process today. If you missed last week, that's all right. You could still join today. Notice I did say intergenerational. It's not just for kids. If you've always wanted to ring, but never wanted to join one of the big choirs because maybe you don't know how to read music or you've never rung handbells before, this is the place for you. It's very low stress, low maintenance, low pressure, and we're going to play on Mother's Day, which is May 10th. So if you're interested in joining us, you can still come on out to that. The second announcement I have is our upcoming Curry concert. The Eagle Rock Gospel Singers are going to be performing here on Saturday, May 16th, right here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock in the evening. It is free. So we encourage you to come on out, invite your friends, your neighbors, the Romans, fellow countrymen, everybody that you know. Bring them on out. It's going to be a good night of worship, music, and a great time together. The last announcement that I have is a two-parter. It's going to come with a brief video, and that is a great thank you to you, the congregation, and to the church leadership for, again, continuing to support the Bell program and to help us attend the annual Spring Ring event that we go to each year. This year, we spent 2 days in Muncie, Indiana, with composer and conductor Jason Krug, who we rang under. We played a lot of fun music, learned some new techniques, hopefully improved our ringing skills a little bit that we could then bring back here to you in the church. We are going to play one of the pieces from that festival this morning as our bell piece, the Fantasia on Asmon, as you see printed in the bulletin. And as a way of saying thank you, we do have a brief video that is going to get played in order to show you some of the things that we did. So thank you.
Beautiful. And now we have an announcement from our STEP team. I believe Drew is going to give that announcement about the mobile food pantry.
Good morning, church family. This Wednesday, there is a mobile food pantry It's a food giveaway, and it's going to be at Valley Plaza at 10 o'clock. 150 families are going to be blessed, and it's sponsored. One of the sponsors is our church here. But we could use your help. We need some people to actually help hand out food to people, put it in their car, so then they don't even have to get out of their car and go, okay? So if you're interested and available, at 8:30 in the morning, we'd like to arrive at Valley Plaza. Be dressed to be outside. I think it might be a little chilly that day. We will start serving at 10, and basically you're putting groceries in people's car, and then we should be wrapped up around 11, soft 11, maybe, you know, whenever we get it all done and wrapped up. So we help get the semi unloaded, we help load it in cars, and we bless 150 families, okay? So if you're interested, it's okay to look at your phone right now, see if you're available. You don't have to tell us ahead of time, but if you want to, that's fine, and we'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Drew. What a great opportunity. We have one final announcement for you from Pastor Jeremy about a special Sunday coming up.
Good morning. For this announcement, I need you to jump in the time machine and go back 8 months. For those who need help with the math, that was October. So what were you doing in October? I know some of you are saying, I can't think of what I had for breakfast. And that's all right. But what were you doing 8 months ago? Watching some football, perhaps? Getting into the swing of the fall? Well, here at the church, we were beginning a process to develop a statement that would help us express who we are, who we're striving to be, and how we agree to do life together. And it's through the diligence of a task force made up of church members and leaders, and with the input of you as our congregation, 8 months later, we now have this statement that we are calling our commitment to the cross. Okay? Our commitment to the cross. How many are familiar to some degree with this statement? Have heard of it before? Excellent. Fantastic. And so 2 Sundays from now, so 2 weeks from today, Sunday, May 3rd, we will focus on this congregational statement and invite one another to embrace this commitment to who we are, who we're striving to be, and how we agree to do life together and make this commitment to God, to make this commitment to one another, make this commitment to our community. So I hope that you'll have this in your mind 2 Sundays from now, Sunday, May 3rd at our 10 a.m. service. I invite you to be a part of this special time of worship in the life of the church and encourage you to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. It is going to be a very beautiful Sunday. And now I invite us to stand and greet one another, and our friend Henry is going to call us back together with the bell.
Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Let us begin our praise and worship this morning with "Open the Eyes of My Heart."
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
At this time, come forward.
Come on down. How are you guys doing this morning? Hi. How is it going today, Islet? Hi. How are you doing, Natalie? Hi, Owen. High five. How's it going, guys? Thank you all for coming. It's gorgeous out there today, isn't it? Have you ever guys had somebody move away on you, a friend or a family? How did you feel? Would you feel sad, probably? Then just like when Jesus died on the cross, everyone kind of felt sad. We had two friends that were walking along on the road to Emmaus, and they felt very sad. And all of a sudden, a stranger came and joined them. I wonder who that... Oh, seriously, you know the story? I'm so excited. Maybe you can be my helper and tell the story today, Violet. That would be great. You think it was Jesus walking along with them? Okay, we are going to study the Gospel of Luke today. Did you know that there are 18 stories that appear in that Gospel and nowhere else in the Bible? Our memory verse today is, they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon," Luke 24:34. So we're doing 24:13-35 today. Joining me in the Sunday school celebrating with you guys about Jesus is risen and is going to be Miss Sherry, and we have Miss Robin in there, and we have Lena, and we have Miss Claire. So we're going to have a fun Sunday school. Let's do a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this group of children today. We ask that you pray for all those who are in need, for those that are in need this morning. And we hold them up, whether it be mental health, whether it be issues with the flooding that's been going around Michigan. We ask that in anybody in sickness, we ask that you will surround them with your everlasting love. We celebrate those that are having birthdays this month. We celebrate those that are graduating. We celebrate a lot of things coming up within the next couple months here. Those that are going through confirmation, we just ask that you will share your love with all of those people and help them to feel abundance of your love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's go to Sunday school.
Amen. We're going to do something a little different here this morning for our offering. And I'm going to throw our ushers for a loop. I'm going to ask one of our ushers, just one of our ushers, to please come down forward with one of our offering plates, if they would. Appreciate it very much. Yesterday in the fellowship hall, we had the very first of our well-being workshops here at the church that we're doing with the Midland Area Wellbeing Coalition. Our first of four that we're doing throughout the coming year. And during this teaching, I'm out on a limb because I'm trying to replicate what we were taught. And our lead facilitator, Sarah, is here with us in worship. So if she needs to offer me correction afterwards, please let me know. But one of the things that we learned during the workshop this past Saturday is that scientists have found that we are kind of an amalgamation, a mix-up of 24 strengths. Okay, each of us has these strengths to one degree or another, and that all of us have four or five strengths that are our main strengths that express themselves in different degrees in different situations. You know, that teaching yesterday reminded me of how we would term that in terms of the church, in terms of all of us have given us, each one of us, to contribute to the sharing of God's word, the spreading of the gospel, to the building up of God's kingdom. Now, at times, where our brain goes is sometimes we think, I just don't have this gift or that gift, right? I don't know what to do, how to do what Tom and Kevin are doing the back and Weston and flipping all these switches and knobs to make the microphones work when they need to work. I can't play in the band. I can't ring the bells. I can't keep up with the kids to teach them a lesson. But what that masks and what that draws our attention away from is we all have something to contribute. Now, we often think of the offering as a time of contributing our monies, our finances, our gifts to the church. And I don't want to downplay their importance because they do support the mission and the vision of this church. And some of us, and there are different seasons in our lives when we can contribute, and there are other seasons when we can't. I don't want you to feel bad this morning if you are at a place or in a season of your life when you cannot contribute financially. But the fact of the matter is, each of us has a strength. Each of us has a gift to contribute. And so, yes, we do this every Sunday. We might be used to this, and it just might be lost on us. But this morning, as you take the plate, I invite you to consider what is it you have this week to offer to God. For some of us, it will be coming alongside the STEP ministry and participating in the food pantry. For others of us, it will be exercising discernment and sharing wisdom with a friend or a neighbor. For others, it'll be standing in line and, oh my gosh, there's a stranger behind you. Take up this conversation. And you sense that God is having you share something. I invite you, as you take the offering plate this morning, to consider what is that strength, what is that gift that you have to offer the world or offer our community. And our bell choir just rang a piece that is to the tune, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing." Do you know what Charles Wesley was talking about when he wrote the words of that hymn? He wasn't talking about, oh my goodness, what if we had a thousand voice choir? What Charles was having us imagine is we have a God who is so good that he wished he had a thousand tongues to sing God's praise. And so as you take the plate this morning, I hope that you will consider your gifts. I hope you will consider the strengths that God has given you. And I hope that you will praise God this week. May the ushers please come forward.
Thank you.
Please stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God, indeed, you are so good that you elicit our soul to sing hallelujah. Lord, we pray that you would take these gifts that we have offered you in the offering plates, the very strength and gifts that we offer you with our prayers and our contemplation of the week to come. And we all offer to you, knowing that you are good and that you multiply what we give. So we ask for your blessings upon all that we offer you in our worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Leading up to the offering, I meant to share that you outdid the invitation. You outdid the challenge for us to have 50 participants at Saturday's workshop. As a congregation, we had over 60 people participating in the workshop. So congratulations to you, and just pray that continues to plant seeds of well-being in our congregation. If you weren't able to be a part of it, and now it's sounding like, gosh, there's something for me to take from this or to give to this, know that the next workshop is scheduled for July 25th. I invite you to contact the church office to participate. All are welcome and invited into these workshops of well-being. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, and this morning I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you for who you are. May the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ the Lord is risen today is one of my favorite hymns of all time. It touches my heart deeply every time I hear it because it's so very true. In a sense, we don't even understand the fullness of all that heaven will be all that the resurrection will be, but we have this sure hope because of Jesus Christ himself. This living hope that Peter talks about. And every time I hear that beautiful hymn, I'm reminded of that reality. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. By his great mercy, we have already and yet still await what is promised, the salvation of our souls, but not only our souls, but our whole selves. During Lent, we put away our hallelujahs. In a sense, we bury them, because the season of Lent is a time when we prepare for Easter through reflection and repentance. And in doing so, remember with intention Jesus in the desert as he was tempted by the devil. On Easter, we bring back the hallelujahs as we reflect on what it is that we praise the Lord for. And at the very most, the reason for the incarnation, God coming in the flesh. God himself has come and restored our relationship with him and with others. He has given us the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. We are his, and he is ours. And it is this faith that brings forth the reality of our hope through the promise that has been given to us. Our faith is a gift from God that protects us and allows us to rejoice even when we face trials. It is certainly true that God does not rejoice in our suffering, but there is a degree to which we will only understand our trials in full when we see him face to face in heaven. Something that comforts me whenever I face trials is that nothing touches me that does not first go through the hand of God the Father. Nothing takes God by surprise. So we can rest in the security of knowing that whatever it is that we are going through at any given time, God is aware and he will continue to give us the strength that we need to walk through it. And eventually, we will get through it with his help. The Christians that Peter was writing to in his letters were suffering persecution for their faith, and he was encouraging them. We know from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and that for our sake, he endured the cross. For those Peter wrote to, Peter used the analogy of gold that is tested and purified by fire in order to help us understand how trials can be a gift to us and an invitation into deeper relationship and deeper union with Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Not because trials are easy and not because we want to go looking for suffering, certainly not. But because when our faith is tested, we grow. We grow in the Lord as we lean on him and we get to know him. when we lean in to the living hope that is Jesus Christ in his great mercy. And we know that God's power is made perfect in weakness. Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians. Yes, we will have an inheritance that is to be revealed in the last days. But as we walk through trials and allow our faith to grow by leaning on the Lord and his all-sufficient grace and mercy, Peter, he says that our faith is more precious than gold, and that this may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So when we walk through trials and testing, and our faith is tested, as we lean in, this will be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Christ is revealed. And Peter says, although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It is an already not yet promise. Now we know in part, through our rejoicing, what is to come, because our hope is alive. Our hope is alive in Jesus Christ. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And he is more alive than we are right now. How beautiful. And so in part, we are already receiving our salvation as we are in relationship with God and walking closely with him. We are being further and further transformed into the image of Jesus as we walk closely with him. And still, there is more to be revealed that we do not yet see. How beautiful. How beautiful. How exciting. Stanza 4 from Christ the Lord is Risen Today is my very favorite. Soar we now where Christ has led. Alleluia. Following our exalted head. Alleluia. Made like him we rise. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, and the skies. Alleluia. There it is, the outcome of our hope and the promise. We get to go where Christ has led, for he is our exalted head. We have been made like him, and like him we will rise. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies. I want to be very clear about the both and here. On Good Friday, I had the opportunity to give a benediction or a blessing after 2 different services. And with intention, I reminded those present not to rush into Sunday morning, but to walk through Good Friday, through Holy Saturday, and into Easter Sunday morning. I tell you this because the line at the end of the 4th stanza in this beautiful hymn tells us that ours is the cross, the grave, and the skies. It can be so easy to allow ourselves to forget the cross, to forget the grave. But the cross is what gives us the hope that we have and what makes it all the more sweet. The grave had a place at one time, and now death has been swallowed up in victory. The grave can no longer boast, because God took on flesh, and in the combined human and divine nature, Jesus Christ in his humanity took death, both human and divine. He took on flesh and took death, and now it is no more because he is risen. And that is why we can suffer trials in this life. That is why we have not seen him, but we love him. And even though we do not see him now, we believe in him. And we rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy, because one day we will see him and love him all the more. We will not be shocked when our faith is made sight, because we will have received what we hope for according to the promise. It's the promise that reminds me that every time I drop something, every time I spill something on the floor, God is right there with me. He is in it with me. Getting up and down is not an easy thing for me to do, but I do it because sometimes it's necessary, and I am capable of doing so. In those moments, I am reminded that mine is the cross, the grave, and the skies. And God, in his mercy, has not left me in hard things, especially in hard things. He is especially close. It's in the hard things where I get to know him the most. And I believe that's true for all of us. This implies a tension. This both and, already, not yet. But as the poet Wendell Berry says in his poem, Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front, he says, practice resurrection. The whole poem is about recognizing that the world loves quick profit, ready-made things. But instead, he tells us to do something every day that won't compute. It's a very interesting poem. Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. And the line, practice resurrection, is the very last line. Practice resurrection. We're invited into a living hope. As Christians, we believe in more than what we can see with our eyes. We are Easter people. because Jesus Christ, both fully divine and fully human, 100% at the same time, lived, died, and rose again. And it's because of this that we are invited in. We are invited into resurrection, into the cross, into the grave, and into the resurrection. And it's this invitation, this living hope, that declares that there is more for us that is still to come, that invites us to change the way that we show up in the world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Paul says, to allow this to transform the way that we face trials, the way we interact with others, to rejoice, even in the midst of hard things, because God meets us there. And it's what calls us to rejoice even now in what is to come. Because in one sense, it is already here. What is already here is a foretaste of what is to come in fullness. This living hope, let it change you. Let it allow you to rest in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the love that God has for us as a community, for us as individuals. He wants to protect us and to protect our faith as we walk side by side with Him in this life. We are not promised an easy life, free from trials, but we are promised Himself, the gift of His presence with us. We are promised living hope in joyful anticipation of the next life. I invite you to practice resurrection today, this week, this month, and all the time to come because of this living hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And now, let us join together in prayer. God of hope, we thank you that you are alive. You are more alive than we are. And that Jesus sits at your right hand, interceding for us. Thank you that your hope is sure, and that we can indeed rejoice in all circumstances because of who you are, and that you are always at work, even when we cannot see it or feel it. Thank you that you never, ever, ever leave us. In times of happiness and pain, you are with us. Your love remains steadfast. We love you, even though we do not see you with our eyes. Help us to love our neighbor, who we can see, just as much. Protect our faith such that we are delighted, truly delighted, at the hope of seeing you face to face. Thank you for the resurrection. That it is true for those who greeted Jesus, risen 3 days after his crucifixion, and for us to be practiced until Jesus comes again in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Lord, we pray for those who are persecuted for their faith today, and for all those who are in war-torn countries. May your resurrection, Jesus, be felt as much as possible in this life. In times and places where people are hurting in all sorts of different ways, where we can be your hands and feet, inspire us, Holy Spirit. Lead and guide us to where we can make your love known in this world. Thank you for the gift of living hope. Thank you for the gift of prayer. That truly is deeper and deeper relationship with you, Blessed Trinity. Thank you that we can get to know you the more we stay close to you. Thank you for the ways you invite us deeper and deeper into your life and to be transformed into the image of Jesus, both in times of joy and sorrow, in trial and in hope that we see with our eyes. Thank you for the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Our last song is a reminder of the things that we are being asked to do. The Lord is asking us to open our eyes so that we can see him. The Lord is asking us to open our ears so we can hear the word. And the Lord is asking us to open our mouths so that we can share the word and share the blessings and witness to others in this community, in your homes, in your neighborhoods. So please stand as we sing this reminder, all as a group.
On my ear, everything falls.
we do not see him with our eyes, we love him. Though we do not see him with our eyes, we believe in him and we rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. How beautiful. Indeed, the promise is true. We have an inheritance that is coming, that is unfading, undefiled, kept in heaven for us. But for now, we get to practice resurrection. So as we go today, Easter people, let yourself be loved. Let the Lord love you and call you to show those around you what it means to be loved, and that the one who loves us the most has come in the flesh for us. Carry this living hope into the world. There are so many who need to hear it and see it and know it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.